David Evans and Dave Parson of staff will give a presentation.
We do have in our packet a PowerPoint.
That's for you. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is David Evans. I'm the division chief for the groundwater cleanups programs for the North Coast Regional Board. I just want to provide some introductory comments, and then Dave Parsons, my colleague and associate geologist, is going to give the report. He's the lead staff person that provided oversight on a spill response effort that I think is a success story, and that's why we're here today, is to tell you that some very good things happened in response to a very unfortunate incident that involved a truck wreck where 4,000 gallons of diesel was spilled on the roadside immediately adjacent to the Smith River back in February. My comments are basically, I want to sort of chart out our role as regional board staff in spill response. And our role centers on our responsibility to protect water quality, human health, and the environment. Spills are unanticipated events that constitute unpermitted discharges of materials that can be harmful to beneficial uses of water. Our job is to require and oversee cleanup of the spilled materials to eliminate those impacts as well as threats to impacts. Our authority comes from the Port of Cologne Water Quality Control Act and includes all of the enforcement remedies you're familiar with, 13267 orders, cleanup and abatement orders, cease and desist orders, and administrative civil liability. Some of the things that we typically do is to require monitoring by responsible parties. Often we do monitoring on our own, you know, as the situation, you know, requires. We investigate the impacts to water quality and work with other agencies to notify affected water users. Recently, the local health departments have taken over the responsibility of doing what we call reverse 911. 911 is the telephone number you call as a citizen to report an emergency. A reverse 911 is, so that's the citizen reporting to the government, you know, that an emergency has occurred and a response needs to happen. Reverse 911 is when the government notifies the citizenry that an emergency has occurred so that they can take, you know, proper steps to deal with the emergency. The state has an Office of Emergency Services with a system for notifying appropriate agencies, and we are a participating agency. These notifications come to us on the fax machine on a routine basis, and we also have a senior staff who carries a beeper on a 24/7 basis. We have a rotating duty for that. And our other responsibility is that we request the work plans for investigating the spills and the work plans for the cleanup and the remediation. We collect the information necessary to support enforcement cases if that looks like it's needed, especially if there's evidence of intent or negligence involved. Some of the things we don't do, we're not the first responders. We don't pull the wrecked vehicles out of the creek. We have no equipment or training to do that. We don't deploy the floating booms and sorbent pads used for, you know, cleaning up oil spills, nor do we collect them and dispose of them. We do have a supply of them out in the warehouse, and we will hand them out to people who need them as long as they'll pay us back when we're done. We don't do the actual cleanup. We require others do it. But we oversee the work, and we participate in the discussions on what's the best strategy for responding to an event. We don't take on the role of being in charge of site safety or security. We don't do traffic control. We don't do lane closures. That's the province of Caltrans and the Highway Patrol, or local road departments and local law enforcement agencies. When large-scale incidents occur, the State Emergency Management System, known as SEMS, can be activated. This involves the selection of an incident commander who takes charge of the emergency. It's often a law enforcement agency who does that. Our staff reports to the incident commander, as does everybody else involved in the response to the emergency. There inevitably comes a time when the emergency part is over and only the cleanup remains. The vehicles have been recovered, normal traffic patterns have been restored, all the affected parties have been notified, and this is when your staff steps forward and becomes the lead agency and takes over oversight of the cleanup until we can close the site as there's no further threat to water quality involved. But to show you how this all played out in the real world beginning last February, I'd like to turn it over to Dave Parsons to tell you about the response to the spill on the Smith River.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate that a whole lot. My name is David Parson. I'm a professional geologist and certified engineering geologist in the cleanups division under Mr. Evans and part of your Regional Water Board staff. And I've been effectively managing the what's termed the Renner Spill Project up on the Smith River since its occurrence in February. And I want to start off just setting a stage a little bit with this first slide and then give you some verbal information, and we'll go through some more imagery, because this was an extremely challenging project. And if you look at the slide here, what this is taken from is looking downstream with, of course, the Smith River in the background, and I'm standing on the next to the guardrail on the edge of Highway 199. And if you look down on the river bar, one of the things you'll note is this yellow boom around the perimeter of the bar and some people in yellow clothes there. It's important to note that the access to the bar was extremely difficult. And there's some features on this image that are going to, I'll say, repeat over and over during some of the slides that are important to keep in mind. Not only the roadway over here, but this fill slope coming down to the bar is about 50%. I don't know how many of you walked on 50% slopes before, but it's extremely challenging. So with that, I want to give you some little bit of information about things. I first want to start off, I haven't had a chance to present to the board in about 10 years, so I'm very pleased to be here to give this presentation on what's termed the Renner Diesel Spill Project, because the effort by your regional board staff and many project-related personnel have led to quite a success story in terms of preventing and minimizing the potential discharge of diesel fuel to the wild and scenic Smith River. As you may know, the Smith River is really the crown jewel of waterways in our North Coast region, and therefore protection of it is of paramount importance. Potential damage to beneficial uses of water in the Smith River have also been largely avoided due to just the incredible response effort by all the people involved. During the emergency phase of the project, Regional Water Board staff acted in a technical support role to the incident command structure, which was led by the incident commander of the California Highway Patrol. Once the emergency status ended, Regional Board staff became and remained the regulatory lead on the spill project under our Porter-Cologne Water Quality Control Act authority. Today, we've estimated that at least 80% of the spilled diesel fuel has been completely recovered, and the responsible party, Chris Renner, who's here today, his team has effectively complied with all provisions of the cleanup and abatement orders and monitoring reporting orders regarding that spill. Well, where did the spill occur? Let's take a look at this next image here. And it occurred on Highway 199. Here's Crescent City. Of course, this is in the northernmost west corner of California and northernmost area in our region. Highway 199 runs from Crescent City up to Grants Pass. And this little star on the map indicates the approximate spill location, which is about 10 to 11 miles east of Crescent City and about 4 to 5 miles west of Gaski. The other thing we come to learn about Highway 199, you know, it's a beautiful scenic roadway to drive down and go along the Smith River, but it's also an economic and medical lifeline to people that live on the north coast of California as well as the south coast of Oregon. And these attributes of that roadway were extremely important in terms of what kind of response actions could happen, because there was not the ability to close that roadway for any significant length of time, which we would like to have done. But closing it would have created potential peril for the residents on the North Coast, both in an economic and medical sense. So with those attributes in mind about the roadway, what I want to do is go ahead and go through some of these slides and give you a little more detail in terms of what happened on this spill project and the response efforts to date, which I'll just say are extraordinary since it's been literally less than 120 days since the spill occurred. This next image is just trying to show you again where the spill occurred on 199. And on February 20th, 2008, a tanker truck hauling red dye diesel fuel had an accident, lost nearly 4,000 gallons into the inside ditch
on Highway 199, and these white sorbent pads along here generally indicate where the diesel flowed down the ditch, and you're looking southwest, if you will, toward Crescent City, your guardrail on the left, and of course Smith River and the fill slope farther to the left. Well, what was interesting is while some of it flowed down the ditchway, almost all of it infiltrated into the subsurface beneath the roadway, working its way down the fill slope, and actually started seeping out of the fill slope within 48 hours of the spill. That's just absolutely extraordinary to have that occurring. So what we had to do is figure out a strategy to address this quickly before it could end up in the Smith River. Well, I can tell you within hours of the spill occurring, teams were on site controlling traffic, applying sorbent pads, and I have some examples of sorbent pads if you're interested. Happy to hand them around because literally more than 10,000 were used on this project. And of course, visually assessing the extent of the spill. Well, on that Wednesday when the spill occurred, February 20th, within minutes we received notification from the State Office of Emergency Services, and the Water Quality Cleanup Division reacted very quickly by getting together, interfacing both by telephone and fax with the incident command structure, mobilizing a team to the field, and mobilizing an office team to prepare cleanup and abatement as well as monitoring reporting orders. Well, within 48 hours of the spill, or by Friday, February 22nd, a water quality team was on site assessing the situation and providing technical support to the incident command structure. Cleanup and abatement and monitoring reporting orders were out of the office and in the incident commander's hands, as well as the responsible party. And we've remained in full communication, not only with all elements of the incident command structure, but after the emergency was over, with all parties involved with this. And I think that level of communication and dedication by your staff, as well as the responsiveness of the responsible party, led to the success on this project. Let's go to the next slide here. Oops. Here we go. Well, when we looked at the diesel spill, and in fact it had infiltrated so quickly beneath the road surface way, and of course headed down the fill slope to the gravel bar, we had to come up with this interim remedial action strategy that addressed all this with the overall objective of meeting the zero discharge requirement that our basin plan has for the Smith River. Well, what were the elements of that interim remedial action plan? They included soil excavation from the inside ditch and inside lane of Highway 199, which you see happening here. And of course, disposal of that material, contaminated material, at a permitted facility. We placed perforated pipe in the excavation along the inside of the road here, so that pipe could be used for the introduction of clean water to flush the subsurface clean and catch the material downslope. We had to build access routes for people to access the gravel bar and the fill slope and to get up that fill slope, as well as ultimately bring heavy equipment down that 50% fill slope to the gravel bar. We had to implement the excavation of recovery trenches at the base of the fill slope and elsewhere on the gravel bar to collect the contaminated groundwater that was seeping out of the fill slope. We had to construct a groundwater treatment plant that would on the edge of the roadway here, not much room, that could produce clean water, because that clean water was in turn was used for the flushing process and the perforated pipe that was placed in the trench. We had to sample the hill slope, the gravel bar, and areas around there to determine the extent of the problem both in the soil and groundwater. We had to implement soil washing on the gravel bar, and that included separating the material, the very coarse material, gravel size, if you will, being cleaned on the gravel bar, the finer material being ultimately brought up the hill slope to the roadway and transported to a permitted facility for disposal. And we certainly had to restore the gravel bar to comply with all existing permits. And last but not least, certainly, as you saw on the first slide, the deployment of booms around the perimeter of the gravel bar were essential to making sure that discharge to the Smith River did not occur. Well, let's look at some of these more images here to get to this. This is an image just showing a whole series of workers coming up from the gravel bar, up the fill slope to the roadway. Essentially, that's about a 50% slope, and the use of steps that were cut into the fill slope as well as the use of ropes are about the only way you could climb up and down that hill slope without doing it out on all fours. Now, mind you, just to the right of this and not shown on this image was a swath cut through the trees down the hill slope so that heavy equipment could access the gravel bar to do a lot of the work. And if you've ever seen a multi-ton piece of equipment teetering on a 50% slope before it goes down, it's something to behold and something I certainly wouldn't want to be on, I'll tell you. But the equipment operators did it with incredible precision, and I'll just say it adds to the success story. Well, here we are down on the gravel bar, and this is before heavy equipment was brought on the gravel bar. And as you can see, there's a lot of laborers down there, and they are manually excavating the recovery trenches. This one happens to be in the middle of the gravel bar, but against the fill slope, there certainly was one. And you can see all the absorbent pads lying all over the place, as well as caution tape. Well, it became pretty evident pretty clearly when you started looking at the gravel bar and the diesel sheen floating on the water in the gravel bar that manual labor alone couldn't get the job done in a timely enough fashion to protect the Smith River. So what did we do? Well, of course, this is just a blow-up or a close-up of the booms, the yellow boom being a hard, what's called a hard boom, the white boom being an absorbent boom. And I can tell you that every test sample, which are hundreds, outside the boom show no detect for any diesel fuel. And I think that just adds to the success of this because those booms were deployed within hours of the spill occurring, remain deployed today, and are adjusted depending on where the water level in the river is, and that will continue until the fall and perhaps into the winter months. Well, when we realized that hand labor alone wasn't going to get it done, this was a small excavator that was brought down onto the bar. He's doing a little bit of maintenance on it here. You can see standing on absorbent pads because, of course, didn't want to recontaminate the bar with leaking hydraulic fuel. But there's been other equipment brought down to the bar as well. And it's just amazing to watch these people work on the bar because, mind you, this is the size of a small football field. It's not rectangular in shape, though. And I'll just say there is very little room to work down there. And, of course, it can be also a health and safety issue. Happy to report no injuries at all during this project. Here's an example of where the heavy equipment has come in and widened and deepened the recovery trenches. And there's just full absorbent pads in there. There's some workers on the upper right here that are collecting dirty absorbent pads, and they're in bags that ultimately are hauled off for proper disposal. This is just a kind of a close-up of some of the polluted groundwater in one of the recovery trenches. And what we've got here are certainly absorbent pads as well as these soft booms I was mentioning earlier. Here's this is the groundwater recovery trench against the fill slope. And, of course, you see the absorbent pads and the booms. But the other thing to note here is this green hose that ultimately kind of snakes up the hillside. That is the extraction point for groundwater. And that was there were several of them for each trench. And all of that contaminated groundwater was pumped up to this mobile treatment plant and completely cleansed to non-detect levels and then used to help flush the subsurface. So it would come out of the hillside back into the recovery trenches, be extracted, and I'll just say over 600,000 gallons were successfully used, and I'll show you some neat graphs in terms of what happened with the concentration, because this effort, you know, not alone, but I'll say this was very significant in terms of preventing discharge to the Smith River of any of the diesel fuel. Here's the treatment plant. I'm standing up on what's called a weir tank, looking to the southwest or downriver toward Crescent City. And I won't describe all the components of the treatment plant, but this plant was designed, built, and on-site within 3 weeks of the spill occurring. That by itself is just amazing. The treatment plant was successful in cleaning everything to non-detect, and this black tank at the end there essentially is call it the clean water tank, if you will. Well, from that tank, there's a series of pipes that run down the roadway under a bridge at what's called Hardscrabble Creek, back up the inside of the roadway, and you can barely see the pipe there, but that went to the flushing system, and that's where all 600,000 gallons through time pumped through this, treated, back up, flushed, recovered, and just created this closed-loop system that was just incredibly effective. Well, here's a graph that tries to get to some of the effectiveness of that system, and what we have here is concentrations of total petroleum hydrocarbons as diesel on the y-axis in parts per billion, And on the x-axis is time, and you can see are the first sample results, and this is the inlet or weir tank influent concentrations. So what's being pumped out of the trenches, this essentially represents that. And you can see in the very beginning, here we are, March 25th, or about 3.5 weeks after the spill occurred, everything's up and running, we're getting concentrations, and each time we flushed that subsurface, we got a huge slug of diesel out of it, and through time, each flushing, you can see this declining trend. Well, it was getting so successful, we started getting de minimis levels really out at this point in time, and you can see we got another big spike here, which became de minimis. Well, this is about the time the soil washing exercise started on the bar, where we were washing the soils, capturing the rinsate water, which was contaminated with diesel fuel, pumped back up to the treatment plant, through the flushing system, back down to the recovery trenches. And all I can tell you is that this also became very de minimis through time, to the point where today I'm happy to report the treatment plant has been dismantled and moved off the site. The soil washing is complete, and I'll give you some more other successful attributes of this project as we move forward. Oops, back up a little bit. This is just kind of a very busy schematic, but I think it's important to point out some of the important features. Certainly, oopsie, what's that? Oh.
Uh-oh.
Thank you. Oops. What'd I do, Greg? I'm IT challenged, sorry. Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to wait now.
Oh, right. Okay.
It has to cool down and start up again.
Well, let me tell you what's on that schematic, and so when it comes back up, you'll have a little bit better handle. Operator error, pardon me. Good thing it didn't happen during the spill. The schematic shows where the spill occurred, where the inside trench, there's a hatchet pattern, was excavated, and as well as part of the roadway. It also shows the fill slope and gravel bar, the recovery trenches, the four cells down on the gravel bar where the excavations occurred and the soil washing occurred, as well as, I'll just say, a bazillion sample points on the project. So all that is shown on that schematic, and it's I'll just say, here we are again, just a few months into the project.
David?
Yes, ma'am.
They can work off their handout, okay. So we don't have to go back, and we'll just roll on.
Thanks, Kat. So you have that schematic, plan of view schematic, and the images after that really get to the soil washing operation, and there's three or four of those. It's important to note that the type of soil down there is really sand and gravel. And it was clear that not all that material could physically be removed from the bar up that 50% slope to the roadway and then hauled off for disposal. So after some sample analysis, we determined that basically the plus 2-inch size material, gravel if you will, and cobbles would remain on the bar and be washed clean. The minus 2-inch material would be stockpiled on the bar and ultimately transported using I'll just call it a yarding system, much like used in timber, to bring it up that 50% slope and put into bins and hauled off to a permitted facility. I'm happy to report that almost 500 yards was removed from the site, as well as an additional 500 yards washed on site, bringing the aggregate total of contaminated soils removed both from the roadway and the bar to almost 1,000 yards. Okay. So, and the last image really in there is just another picture of the beautiful, wild, and scenic Smith River. And I think the thing I really want to impress upon you is that over at least 80% of that 4,000 gallons has been recovered. You've probably read over the years various spills, everything from, you know, Exxon Valdez to most recently in San Francisco Bay. And if you get more than 50% recovery from a marine spill, that's considered outstanding. Well, this went subsurface, more like an underground storage tank perhaps. We've got over 80% recovery, and we just think that is just absolutely phenomenal. On top of that, no discharge to the Smith River occurred. In addition, I mentioned about 600,000 gallons of water was successfully treated, over 1,000 yards of contaminated soil. Thank you, Greg. Removed from the site. I'm just going to scroll.
Use the slide here.
Okay, thank you. To the last slide there. Just and to finish up, and in addition, the responsible part of the team was in compliance with all aspects of the orders. And mind you that while we issued the initial cleanup and abatement and monitoring reporting order within 48 hours of the spill, that was revised through time so to reflect the conditions that were evolving on the site, and I'll say to work closely with the response team. And last but not least, I'd like to let you know that our colleagues at the Department of Fish and Game have viewed this as such a success in the way, same way we have, that they're not proposing to do any type of damage assessment for the project. And I think that in and of itself speaks to the overall effort that your regional board staff, the responsible party, and all the responders had on this project. So here we are 4 months later from the spill date about, and I'll say we're getting ready to approve the final remedial action plan, which is simply the continued use of the hard and soft booms and some monitoring and reporting through time. And that's it.
I haven't been here quite as long as Tom Dunbar, but pretty close. And this is the first time I ever saw anybody steam clean a gravel bar, and I think that's pretty notable. I'd also like to mention that Chris Renner is here from Renner Petroleum to hear this item, and we've put plenty clear in our communications with him that we're very pleased with the response that his company did in responding to this spill. And if he has any comments, I think that we should invite him to come give them.
That'd be great. Chris?
Well, I didn't really, I'm Chris Renner, C. Renner Petroleum, Crescent City, California. I really didn't come here prepared to make any statements or anything, but we've been in business for 17 years, driving up and down the Highway 199 with tankers full of diesel, gasoline, and various other products for without any complications, problems, or anything like that. As the tanker was 6 weeks old, the driver is very experienced. He trains all of our other drivers to go into different facilities and different safety aspects of this whole thing. He's my most trusted driver. I was in Las Vegas when I got the news that this tanker tipped over up there, and frankly, my family uses that portion of the river frequently all summer long. You know, it's foggy in Crescent City. You hop in the car, you drive 10 miles, you play in the river all day, jump off the rocks and all that kind of stuff. So I was, and it's come up numerous times in safety meetings about the, you know, the cleanliness of the Smith River and the drivers really need to be careful going down there. And when this happened, I was just distraught. But getting to the portion of the stuff of getting this thing cleaned up and the success and working with the water board, which has been on the phone, like meetings once a week with conference calls with Fishing Game and all the other entities that have been involved, it's been, I'm fairly pleased, very pleased with the success of it. It's been a learning experience for me and a few more gray hairs, but nothing I can't deal with, so we're getting over it. I appreciate your guys' support.
Okay, thank you. Board member, questions, comments?
Yeah.
Mr. Massey?
Mr. Chair, I'm not quite sure who we would direct this to, whether it's Mr. Renner and our staff. Do we have an idea of what the costs are, both obviously to the private sector, but to our world as well?
We put them in the cost recovery program, which is one of our groundwater programs for dealing with sites that don't qualify for the underground storage tank money. And so we bill him on an hourly basis, and he passes it to his insurance company. So we are recompensed for our efforts on the site.
True. Fishing Games was $58,000, and I don't think, besides the Osfer lady, there wasn't really a whole bunch of stuff, but our budget looks like we're at $2,100,000 thereabouts, and the insurance company has us so far with bills that they've received at $1.8 or $1.87, something like that, million.
I would also mention that we think we're pretty close to done. You know, the treatment plant has been dismantled. It's gone. We had to get it out of there because of the hard scrabble bridge project that Caltrans is doing. But it really was a fortunate timing sort of thing, because just as we finished up with the cleanup, their contractor was moving in to do the bridge replacement. But I think we're all hoping that we've got a little bit of monitoring left to do and that this project is ready for the file room.
Only because I'm... Excuse me. it is expensive. There's no question about it. But I've got to believe that it is less expensive when we have everybody cooperating this way. It is over with. It looks like, even including the monitoring, we will be done in 14 months. Just as at the end of the winter stuff, we would be done.
4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at less than 12 months for a major spill to get things done through the cooperation of someone who steps up and says, "Yeah, we rather than fight with us." This is gorgeous, and 80% is absolutely beautiful. Thank you very, very much. From those of us who sit here, this is way better than having to pull teeth.
I think it's more than 80%. I really do.
Stuff's expensive, huh?
Glad it didn't happen now. The prices of fuel now are.
I was going to go there, but I thought that'd be a bit morbid. But all right. Well, echo the same. Certainly appreciate the report we've received rather than the report we can imagine that we could have received under this. So thanks to the staff and thanks to you, Chris, for giving us what you gave us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. We will take up item 9.